Here's a bold statement. We live in uncertain times. I know. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "This know also." So here's something that we can know. In the midst of uncertainty, I know this, that in the last days, the Bible says, perilous times shall come. It describes what the perilous times will look like. Now, you follow along and just kind of take some inventory of the things that are happening in the world compared to what we are going to be describing here. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection." "Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. The Bible says, from that, turn away. From such, turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive," look at this next phrase, "silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Oh, there's a lot of things I don't know, but I do know this. We are closer to your return than ever before. That the days are getting more and more evil. Sin is becoming more tolerated. God, help us to not allow this philosophy to come into our houses. Lord, I pray that you give us wisdom. I pray that you'd give us courage. I pray that you would give us strength. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. If we took this passage and read it 20 years ago, if we read it 50 years ago, every single preacher would say, "These are these days." No matter when you read this, it just seems to apply. But the further we go, the deeper we get into this. We live in crazy times. We got people competing for the Olympics, right? Trying to get in on the Olympics. What is the Olympics? It's a sports representing the country. And then when the national anthem is played, you turn your back on that. Then don't play. Like that. That's just where we live, though. I'm not surprised by that. I'm disheartened. I'm confused, but I'm not surprised. This is the climate of our world. Thankfully, the Christian does have hope and peace. We do not look to the world for comfort and strength, because this is what the world has to offer. Lovers of their own selves, covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemy. Hey, you want, if that's what you want, then go to the world. But as a Christian, no, we don't go to the world expecting hope and peace from these things. How could we? They're contrary to that. No, we depend on the promises and character of God. To which I say, number one, praise the Lord, I'm thankful for that. But we are surrounded by this. This is what it, but it doesn't have to, as the verses say, it doesn't have to come into our houses. There was a knock at our door today, multiple times over. Abby had little friends come over. Well, they're getting older now, and they would knock. And we would open up the door, and little Angel comes walking in. Audrey comes walking in. Madeline? Okay, great. We allowed these people to come into our house. We open the door. Nothing comes in without us allowing it. Nothing comes into the Christian's life without us allowing it. So let's be careful. Let's be mindful of this. We live in uncertain times. We live in crazy times. We live in sinful times. And we know that. We know that. But there's some other things that we know. What brought me to this thought was I've been reading through the book of Job. I'm understanding Job more than ever before. Not because I can identify with all the loss, but it's actually making sense. I'm reading larger chunks of it, so I'll listen to what the friend says, and then I'll listen to Job respond to it. You know, Job was accused of certain things. Job, you're accused of sinning. God is bringing this judgment on you because of your sin. Do you know what some of the sins that they accused him of? Not taking in widows. They said, because you didn't take in a widow, that this is why God is doing this. Who? That's quite a view of the Lord. Job chapter 19. Now, go here. This is what brought me to this thought here tonight. I hope it's a blessing to you. See, it didn't start off like a blessing. You just reminded me of how sinful and wicked this world is. Yes, I understand that. But I want to tell you some other things I know. I know this. Job chapter 19 and verse 25, it says this, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." I know we live in wicked times. I know the sin of the world is getting worse and worse and worse. And it is not just knocking at our door. It is not just passing by our door. But it is attempting to kick down the door to our homes. I recognize that. But I know something else. I know that my Redeemer liveth. That's a blessing. Job's in a tough way at this point. He's lost his entire family, his livelihood, everything that he owns, and his health. And his friends are just bantering him, just railing on him. You've made a mistake. Maybe you can't trust the things that you've invested in. And they're just going back and forth, back and forth. And Job, in the conclusion of the matter, with nothing, literally nothing to his possession, declares this bold statement. I know that my Redeemer liveth. The wickedness of this world is going on. You know what? I can stand up quite loudly and say, I know my Redeemer liveth. He made quite the proclamation. Go to Job chapter 13 and verse 15. There are some things that we can know for sure. Job 13, 15 says, "Though he slay me," this is what Job says, "yet will I trust in him." Unbelievable point of view. He says, even if God wipes me off the face of the earth, I'm just going to trust him. What a level of trust to the Lord. I know my God lives. Okay, let's go to Matthew chapter 28. Three things that we can know. In the midst of uncertain times, three things we can know. Number one, my Redeemer liveth. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 1. Matthew 28, 1, it says, "In the day of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, and for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified." And look at this bold statement. "He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay." Do you know that he wasn't there before the stone was rolled away? He rolled the stone away to show everybody. It's like opening up the closet to see how dirty it is. No, don't open those doors. No. He opened it to show them. He says, "Hey, I'm going to invite you in." If he told the two Marys, "Hey, inside this place is empty," you know what those two Marys could do? Nothing. They couldn't get that thing open. It almost took an army to get the thing closed. But he showed them that. He showed them that the Savior of the world is risen. And Job says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Look at John chapter 10. Look at these encouraging words. Hey, you may get up tomorrow morning and go, I have no idea what's going on in the world. I can tell you this, though. My Redeemer liveth. My Redeemer liveth. And because of that, John chapter 10 and verse 10 says, the thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is alive, he has something to offer me. Life. You know what Muhammad can offer? Death. That's where he ended. You know what Buddha offers? Death. You know what Jesus Christ can offer? Life. An abundant life. I know my Redeemer lives. Because he lives, he gives us help. He gives us guidance, Mrs. Frediani. Because he's alive, you can go talk to him. Lord, I don't know where you want me. I know you don't want me here, but where should I be? You know what? You can talk to God because he's alive. Because he lives, he can offer help. He can offer guidance. He can offer comfort. All of those things are available because my Redeemer liveth. So how do we get redemption? According to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, it's through the blood of Jesus Christ. He redeemed us. He purchased us through his blood. Look at Psalm 78. Psalm 78. This is a great passage. Psalm 78. I think there's a basketball game tonight. No idea who's going to win. Honestly, don't even care. But I know this. I know my Redeemer liveth. You know, today I was standing here and you know, our smartphones are awesome. They're great. They tell you, hey, in about 5 minutes, it's going to start raining. And my phone said there is a 100% chance of rain at 11 o'clock. And it's 11:03, and it didn't rain. 100% chance. I would never write 100% because there's always, we live in Rochester, Chad, you never know. 100%, my Redeemer lives. Psalm 78, look at verse 31. Because he lives, he offers help, he offers guidance, he offers comfort. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ. But there's something else that is offered here. The wrath of God in Psalm 78 and verse 31, I know it's talking about Israel, but the character and the principle is still the same. Psalm 78 and verse 31 says, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. Hey, he says, I don't care how much you have. I don't care about all your wealth. You've gone against my principles, my commandments, and I'm going to wipe you out. For they have sinned, for all this they sin still and believe not for his wondrous works. Therefore their days did he consume in vanity. And their years in trouble. It says there that God allowed years of trouble in their life because they went against what God said. To me, that makes sense. You disobey God, man, sometimes a lot of people are struggling. Well, you're going against the things of God. Then what? Verse 34. When he slew them, then they sought him. And they returned and inquired early after God. Sure, when things got really, really bad, and it's okay to hit rock bottom sometimes. Because when you hit rock bottom, there's nowhere else to look but up. Sometimes God allows that, and that's what happens here. He allowed them to continue in their sin. He allowed them to experience the consequences of their sin. But look at verse 35. And they remembered that God was their rock and the high God their Redeemer. Because the Redeemer liveth, he offers help. He offers guidance. He offers comfort. It's through his blood, but he offers reconciliation. Hey, you've gone away, but because he is alive, you can come to him and make right at any time. When you're done dealing in your troubles, when you're tired of living in the consequences of your sin, hey, it's good to know it's not too late. You can come to the Redeemer because he's alive. I know that. Just like Job, I can say, in these uncertain times, I know this 100%. My Redeemer liveth. Number two, 1 John chapter 5. What else do you know? First John chapter 5 and verse 12. It says this, he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That tells me without Jesus you have no hope. Without Jesus, you do not have eternal life. Verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. I know my Redeemer lives, and I know I have eternal life. Why? Because I have put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You talk to a lot of people. Hey, if you died today, where would you spend eternity? You know, I'm telling you, a lot of people would say, for Christians, people that would mark the box off in the survey, I am a Christian. Yes. Bing. Hey, do you know where you'd spend eternity? Well, here's the answer. I hope I go to heaven. Are you going to heaven? Well, I think so. You know, I've lived. How many times have we heard this? I've lived a pretty good life. I haven't done anything too bad. Doing all right. Doing good things doesn't get you to heaven. Putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ gets you to heaven. I know that. There's a lot of uncertainties. There's a lot of questions. I got questions about the future. I got questions about my kids. I got questions. I got a lot of questions. But I know this. I know my Redeemer lives, and I know that I have eternal life. It's a promise. Salvation, I didn't wake up this morning and go, well, I just don't feel saved. It doesn't matter what you feel like. Salvation isn't a feeling. It's a fact. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. Second Timothy 1:12 says this, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, hey, there's some difficulty in life. I go through tough times. There's trials. There's testings. There's trouble. Pastor Seaman talked about it Sunday night. Excellent message Sunday night. He says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know, he says, whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I know whom I have believed. Man, that would make a great song. Say, that sounds really familiar. We just sang that like five times. That's where that's taken from. I know whom I have believed. I know him. I know the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my Savior. In Titus 1:2, it says, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. He offered us eternal life. And you know how good that promise is? It's as good as God himself. We know that only a promise is as good as the person that makes it. If a politician promises you anything, do you believe it? No, I just don't. Even if you're telling me what I want to hear. How about the God of heaven? He says, I promise you, you believe in me, I'll give you eternal life. There's a lot of things I don't know, but I know this. I know my Redeemer lives, and I know that I have eternal life. If you're here tonight and you don't know for sure that you have eternal life, you don't have to wonder. It's available to everybody. Thirdly, Romans chapter 7, and then we're done. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. If I asked you on the way in, hey, is Jesus Christ alive? You'd say, oh, sure. Are you sure? If you talk to Brother Sutliff, how you doing, Brother Sutliff? I'm saving on my way to heaven, right? That's what he says all the time. But sometimes we forget this one. Romans chapter 7 and verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. I know my Redeemer lives. I know that I have eternal life. And I know this. Sometimes we forget it. That my flesh is a problem. And it's always going to be a problem. You can't ever let your guard down. There is always going to be a battle going on between what your flesh wants and what God desires for you. And if you ever get to a place where you say, I have had victory over the flesh, well, maybe for a moment, but the battle starts up again tomorrow. Let us not forget this very important truth. Because all too often we allow the devil, we allow our flesh to get a foothold in our life when we forget that in our flesh there is no good thing. Let's go to James. We're just going to look at two passages and then we'll be done. James chapter 3. A great reminder to us that the flesh is just going to be a trouble all our life. All your life. Say, when do I get victory over this flesh? When do I have to stop fighting? When does it get easy? On the other side, when the corruptible puts on incorruptible, when the mortal puts on immortality. Until then, you just keep fighting. James chapter 3, look at this. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Here we are. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouths. We talked about this. Remember, Madeline, years ago, or maybe a year ago, or whatever, you brought in a bit for us, right? Didn't you do that? I think so. Or maybe Charity did. I don't know. Anyways, okay. That they may obey us. And we turn about the whole body. Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. It's giving us examples of these strong bodies that are turned and moved with just a little thing. Here comes the application to my life. Because number one, I don't ride horses. And number two, I don't like ships. Sorry, Grandpa Hate. Sorry, Brother Primer. But here's something that we all have. Verse 5. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell, and for every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. Last verse, verse 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Hey, let's not forget, there's always a battle with the flesh. Oh, it's just a little. Hey, always be mindful of your words. Always be mindful of what you're about to say. Don't let your guard down. Hey, you might have had control of your tongue today, but tomorrow's a new day. It reminds us of this very simple truth. Galatians chapter 5, and we'll be done. The Apostle Paul, possibly the greatest Christian we have record of, says, I would like to make a confession. I have a problem with my flesh. If Paul says that, I know this. My Redeemer lives. I'm promised eternal life. And every day, I'm going to have to fight the flesh. I know those things. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Do you see that? The Spirit and the flesh, they fight. They're not on the same team. They don't have a common enemy. They're against each other. And Paul reminds us, and he says, in my flesh dwells no good thing, because it is the thing that most hinders the work of God in my life. And if we ever get to the place where we fail to take into account the strength of our flesh, the work of God will greatly be hindered in our life. I don't know what tomorrow looks like, but I know my Redeemer lives. The tomb is empty. And because of that, he offers help and guidance and comfort and an opportunity, if I've done wrong, to come back and make right. He's promised me eternal life. It's not based on me. It's based on him. I can't keep that promise. And thirdly, good news. Tomorrow, your flesh is going to be a problem again. See, we had a good prayer meeting, and it was so good to pray for those kids. And I'm praying for Mrs. Frediani, and I'm praying for, you know, Mrs. Wilson's kids coming up and all of that. And I'm really seeking the Lord. And you're coming out with a good mindset, and you just spent some time, and maybe a verse just met your need perfectly tonight. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, the battle starts again. Let us not forget that. That in our flesh dwells no good thing, and the Spirit and the flesh, they're contrary to one another. They're not on the same team. The flesh produces, you can read the verses. The Spirit produces, you can read the verses. They don't make the same thing. In verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. He says, be careful, remember the reality and the strength and the power of the flesh. Let's all stand tonight. We live in uncertain times, but there are some things we know for sure. Based on the promises of God, Jesus Christ is alive and available for help. He's promised us eternal life. I know I have eternal life. And thirdly, my flesh is going to cause trouble the rest of my life. It's not going to go away. Better learn how to start getting victory, resting in the Lord, going to Him for guidance in all of that. Let's see. Roger, how are you doing? All right, very good. Brother Primer, will you dismiss us in prayer?